We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberfusion USA.
You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.
Live from WRCT Studios in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Hour, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Education Hour. And, you know, every week, like, we come up with some crazy stuff. Well, my producer, Dr. Jennifer Little, came up with something that I thought picked an article from Ed Week that, oh, my, get ready in the car, because this one is going to be a very interesting one. Especially when we look at specifically enough somebody who, you know, everyone that is in education might be a Democrat, but yet sometimes we look at President Obama's education plan and he seems a bit out of touch. So I first want to welcome the program Dr. Jennifer Little and then also Jason, the public school guy. So let me say hi to Dr. Jennifer first. How are you, Dr. Jennifer?
I'm fine, Neil. Glad to be back.
And then also Jason, the public school guy. Jason, what's up?
Not too much. Glad to be back on.
It's going to be quite interesting. I have a feeling, specifically when we get to this topic in a lot of ways, because I think that it's going to be an interesting barn burner. So let's go to the article now and see where we go from there.
So this one is right up your alley for being contentious, Neil. The title of the article is Mr. Obama. Colon. So he's the guy is talking to him. Most schools aren't like your daughter's school. And then the subheading is, I want to send my grandson to Sidwell. And this author is the grandfather. He said that at the beginning of this school year, he went with his daughter to find a good public school for his grandson. This man was a teacher, a principal, and a professor of education, so his daughter felt confident in his ability to find the right school. And his response was, she was wrong. He found, quote, nothing could have prepared me for the mindlessness of the hallways, classrooms, and main offices I observed in the coming weeks. I reviewed curriculum with no art or music and only sporadic attempts at teaching science. I follow the school schedule heavily focused on basic literacy skills. I found kindergarten programs with no recess. I observed classrooms where students were required to repeat state standards written on the chalkboard and spend hours completing mountains of worksheets designed to make children more test savvy. Do you guys want to go in on this?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Because it's quite interesting, Jason, when we think about this, because, I mean, if this is truly, and you would say this is not my school, right, Jason? It's your school. Are you serious?
Hey, look, I get judged based upon how those kids do on those tests. My school gets judged based upon how they do on those tests. So what do? You prepare yourself for those tests.
See, here's where I think what's going to happen. And I had a conversation with a conservative family friend of mine a couple days ago. And we talked about how math is completely being watered down to the point of just teaching to a test. And they're not preparing them for college mathematics at all, especially the top level science kids and things like that. And what's going to happen is by doing this, by watering down things so much, and not really teaching academic rigor like the private schools, which we'll get into. And I want first Dr. Jennifer's response to this, that internationally they're going to pass this by so quickly, and most of the people we're going to get in the best programs are not going to be from the United States. Do you agree with me, Dr. Jennifer?
I don't, because there are a lot of kids in the United States who are doing well, and there are a lot of schools that are very good. For example, my cousin's daughters are taking AP classes for college credit in their high school, and their goal is to have 1 year of college already done with by the time they graduate from high school. And my cousin and I have talked about this, and he says, I'm really glad that this school tracks the kids so that his daughters are in the top class. Now, there are a whole bunch of other kids that are not getting the education they are.
But see, what I'm saying to you is I still think that those are watered down in specific ways. Because they're really, yeah, you're saying, oh yeah, it's giving them 1 year college credit. Most of the kids need remediation when they head to college, a good percentage of kids. So when you're looking at competition, and let's say, oh yeah, those kids are getting challenged in AP classes now, but they lack so many skills to be successful in college in mathematics. And we're just talking about math for a second, but I could talk about other subjects as well, that because they were taught to the test all the way up to probably high school, that they just kind of really don't have the skills that their private school counterparts have, or kids from other countries. Jason, do you agree with me on this?
Not even remotely.
I knew you wouldn't.
Not even remotely. No, look, tracking is absolutely occurring in schools because you have to, in order to meet the needs of every student. You know, we have, much like Dr. Jennifer's cousin's school, in our school, next year we are offering 22 college credit courses, 22 classes that they could take before they graduate from my school and get college credit for it. So that's pretty rigorous as far as a high school is concerned. Those kids are not getting anything watered down. Some of the courses we have to be approved by the university. Other courses we have are AP. So, I mean, none of those courses are watered down courses.
See, I would disagree with you, Jason, because I believe that the most of the important parts of education system is being lost in the elementary schools to prepare these kids for this point. So now we have to water things down in high school, which we have to water things down in college, which leads to where we're not having the top kids academically.
You see, that's a specious argument, because, number one, when was the last time you were in a high school? And number two, you're making these assumptions based upon statistical analysis, and we all know that, there's three different kinds of lies in the world: lies, damn lies, and statistics. So, I mean, you can make these arguments, they're very conservative arguments, against public schools, which is fine, but it's wrong.
I wouldn't consider making, Jason, I would not consider that making a conservative point of view. I'm making an academic point of view that's going to lead to what President Obama's creating that compared to what his children go to compared to the school and my private school thought process. And that's going to be interesting in this show, because that's where I'm going with this. And I think Dr. Jennifer knew I was going on this. Now, let me give you an example, Jason. I've interviewed, and you're saying, oh, you've not been in high school yet, but I've interviewed many college professors lately. I've interviewed people that are saying that these kids are not prepared. I've talked and interviewed with parents that are saying that this curriculum is absolutely so watered down compared to their their older sibling, older children, that it's ridiculous, that they literally aren't being taught anything. You're telling me this flat out. It's happening in your schools. And you're telling me that that's going to make us better than other international countries that are competing for our positions in college and then are going to compete for our positions for jobs in the United States, Jason?
Well, what I'm saying is that we're talking about international competition. We're talking about the best and the brightest of all the schools. And I'd put our best and brightest up against anybody else's best and brightest, hands down.
So we have to get some research then, Jason, and look at specifically what you're saying and saying how many of the top, what about honors classes across the country?
But we've talked about this ad nauseum. We absolutely have already talked about this, about how other countries cream their test scores, see, and those kinds of things.
But I'm not talking about that. We're not talking about a test.
You're talking about comparative analysis.
No, we're not talking about a test, Jason. We're talking about our competition.
What are you talking about?
So let me give you an example. Preparing my daughters so that they could maybe possibly go Ivy League, and looking at specifically the process into getting there to that point, the competition is mostly going to be international. It's not going to be the United States in a lot of ways. You're competing on an international level. And if we continue to water down what I see, the preparation, how bad the curriculum has gotten in the last 5 years, how watered down mathematics is compared to 5 years ago, we'll see what the Common Core brings to the table. I don't think it's going to bring anything. That literally you're seeing, and that's what we talked about last week, you're seeing it's going to show up in this competition, Jason, in high school and college. You don't think so?
Everything shows up in competition, but I don't believe it's as bad as you're saying it is. I think you're crying wolf where there's really no wolf to be crying about.
See, I that's where we're going to agree to disagree on this. And I'm not saying that how can we come up and fix this problem. Like I said, that was one of the big keys, I believe, in the private school mentality. And that's when we're going to talk about where President Obama sends his children. So, Dr. Jennifer, now my point, if you're talking about this is the school environment that this teacher was absolutely disgusted by seeing this. Don't you think, Dr. Jennifer, that it's going to hurt the children later on in preparation for college?
That's hard to say, because anybody who goes to college gets out of college what they put into it. And I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't put a whole lot of effort into my undergraduate program. Where I really kicked into gear was by the time I hit graduate school. By then, I knew what I wanted to do. I was focused, I was driven, and there was no problem. But there's so much that goes to college. It's more than just the academic preparation. Being able to do the coursework is one thing, but to have the motivation, to have the self-structuring behavior to sit down and read those tedious tomes that you have to read, to spit back the information on the tests,
to endure all
the trivia. But high school doesn't prepare you for that.
But see,
it doesn't at all.
But I agree. It does not prepare you for college. And what we're talking about is a travesty of justice. I mean, that's where I want to go in the comparison of private schools to public schools tonight.
Neil, you're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point on this.
No, you absolutely.
That's where I got you going.
The point is that there's a maturity issue when it comes to kids when they get to college.
Okay.
They are incapable of handling what's being put before them because there's a maturity issue. That's the point.
I agree with you with the maturity. But not the top students. The top students have that maturity.
Yes, the top students.
No, not necessarily.
The mature students they have are the top students, Neil.
We're talking college. When they graduate from college.
I'm talking about the college-level kids.
Okay, well, I see a very mature level of student at Carnegie Mellon than looking at somebody at Pitt.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
there is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Look at Carnegie Mellon students compared to Pitt and the maturity level. Okay, when we get back, more with Jason, the public school guy, and Dr. Jennifer Little. You're listening to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. We're streaming live at WRCT.org, and I got them going tonight, and I think I'm going to win this case. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. We're streaming live at WRCT.org, and Dr. Jennifer Little at the break was telling me I didn't let her finish, and I apologize for that. I'm just fired up to go after Jason tonight because I think he's absolutely wrong when it comes to education. For the people listening in the car that just decided to tune in right now, you're listening to an argument about an article talking about the education system today. And then Jason said, this is the system. Well, I'm giving you a prediction what those kids are going to look like in the next 20 years if we continue down this path of watered-down education, not teaching kids a variety of methods. And look at the job market. Look at what jobs we're creating right now. Mostly, look at what jobs are being created. They're not the kind of jobs that ultimately we want to create to make our country continue to grow. We want more engineering jobs. We want more high professional jobs. And if we keep teaching like this, I'm telling you, our jobs are going to be taken by overseas from other people. So, Dr. Jennifer, what were you going to say?
What I was going to say is that the AP courses in high school are taught more like college. What's the word? It's not a lecture. It's we're like seminars.
Yes.
And the kids really get into the subject, and they look at the subject and put it into application, which is not what happens in high school classes.
Right.
That's not exactly what happens in college classes either. But the AP classes are taught to address the developmental and cognitive level of high school students who are extremely bright and can take information and do things with it. It's entirely different.
See, but I agree with you. Yes, continue.
But the kids who can cut those classes are actually brighter than the average kid going into college who's well prepared.
Yes, they are.
Because AP is much more demanding.
Yes.
Far more demanding. And those kids are totally and completely prepared for college.
Absolutely.
Because they know how to manage their time. They know how to study intensively. They are serious. They are focused.
Right. Okay.
So they have a purpose.
I agree. I'm not arguing with you at all about that. We're talking what I'm not saying AP. I'm just giving you the example of the fact if we go this direction. But let's look at these kids that are AP. And I'll go back to that argument, but I want to go more into the article right after that, not go back to Jason on this, because Jason and I will go toe-to-toe when we listen to what President Obama's kids go through every day. The problem is, Dr. Jennifer, you need years of academic experience. That our kids today are not as strong writers as 20 years ago. Jason will completely disagree with me. I don't. They're not as strong mathematics. They're not as analytical thinkers anymore. They basically, you're already seeing a downfall in education thanks to NCLB in the last 11 years. Now I see things even worse. Under Obama's administration, based on the new standards, based on the way we're teaching to the test, to the point where you just told me, because when I started at the beginning of NCLB, things were not like this explanation. So, Dr. Jennifer, let's continue this article. So we went from him disgusted about the school system, but let's continue that article a little bit more.
Okay. He was saying that there were breaks in the day that amounted to forced marches to and from bathrooms, and the students had time tests, test preparation games, and distributing awards who met the state standard for the day. And then when he questioned administrators and teachers about the school, what he heard was the educational babble that makes no sense to normal human beings. It's the alphabet soup, RTI, which is a response to intervention, ELL, which is English language learners, AYP, which is annual yearly progress, LD, learning disabilities, BD, behavior disorders, ADHD, attention disorder, hyperactivity. Then also the business metaphors, data-driven, performance-based, TGM. I don't know what that is. Either of you guys know what that is?
No.
No.
And then he was saying that they were wanting more time to prepare tests for the state test in March. I don't know what state this is, because in Oregon, they start testing in November. They get three windows.
Okay.
And he's saying that nowhere, and remember, he's looking for a place for a kindergartner. And nowhere did he find anything that demonstrated sensitivity to the developmental needs of the kinder kid and an instructional program that would develop the habits of thought valued in a global economy. And that's your argument, Neil.
Right. Okay. So, and this is interesting, because I'm sure this guy's not a conservative that's writing this article. And Ed Week is definitely not a conservative blog or a news place. So, Jason, what I'm saying is, if we take people down this road of testing them starting in kindergarten, and this mindless dribble all the way to, let's just say, high school, where you guys kind of have a little bit more ability to put kids in AP and honors classes, and the teachers don't really have to teach the test as much because their kids are going to perform well. You agree with me on that, right?
No.
Okay, well, if they don't, then I don't even want to know that, but I think they perform well. I'm not seeing it as much at some of the districts I tutor kids in that are in high-level courses. What I'm saying is, if you destroy most of their education and then finally start to become more academic rigor by high school, other countries are going to compete for these college top level placements, and they're going to be far ahead of this system that we're creating, Jason.
Well, Neil, In your diatribe, you went on and on and on about how our kids aren't going to be able to compete here, there, and everywhere, which is interesting, because the fact of the matter is our kids are not only competing, but there's jobs that used to be going somewhere else are now coming back to the United States because our people outproduce the foreign competition. The other thing that you neglect to mention, and maybe it is that you just didn't know this or not, but the jobs that are going to be most abundant in 10 years haven't even been created yet. So when we're talking about preparing these kids for the job force, we don't even know what we're preparing them for yet.
Government jobs, yeah.
We just don't even know yet. what it is that these kids are going to be asked to do. Now, there has been a push, and there continues to be a push, for more analytical thinking inside of the classroom, which is going to continue on,
but
as it should. And, you know, you talk about going against the top level whatevers. Well, that's fine. That's a nice, you know, talking point, but that's not a reality. Our kids not only compete, but our kids excel in the competition. They don't really go against, but they defeat the competition.
But was there a lot of studies that most of the AP courses are taken from people that are not from the United States? Already, it was an expose.
To the United States to take AP courses?
No, that are the parents that have moved here that are not Caucasian. That are most that are taking these courses that are in these classes are either Asian or specifically other from other countries.
That's if your demographic has a lot of Asians. I mean, I think that's kind of a loaded way of putting it.
But it was a story on it was an expose on ABC last year about that. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but this is just the beginning, Jason. We're not able. I don't think the first 11 years of NCLB have been as bad as where we're going right now.
I will never defend NCLB.
I'm not saying anything, but I think now it's become such a ridiculous thing that we're teaching, and that's where I want to go with Dr. Jennifer on this. But see, Jason, my argument, and I want people to know what they think. Call the station, please. Tweet me out. You know how to find me. This. Who's right on this? Because I know many teachers that are ready to quit and fall and throw the tests in the garbage can, saying we are going to be destroyed. We're going to be destroyed as a country if we continue to go into teaching to the test. And what Dr. Jennifer just described for me makes me say that my daughters are going to go and my son are going to be going to a private institution, Catholic school. And if they start teaching the test, I'm going to homeschool. Because the bottom line is this. This is absolutely a terrible thing, a travesty of justice that's being happening, and we're not teaching. So, Dr. Jennifer, continue the article. I cannot wait to hear how President Obama's children are treated in the classroom.
Okay. The man did not visit the school. He just looked at the website for the Sidwell Friends School. So this is basically a Quaker belief system. It's a private school in Washington. And he wanted to see what his kids could do, the schools where his kids could go, compared to what this school is like. And he did a Google search. And the instructional program was comparable to that of the University of Chicago Laboratory Schools, which the Obama daughters went to before when they lived back in Chicago. It's an instructional program that gives time for each discipline to be taught well, in quotes, engaged in instructional activities that were problem-based and interdisciplinary. They have a rich extracurricular program supervised by administrators and teachers who place the children's social and emotional development on an equal footing with their intellectual growth. He saw no evidence of test scores, adequate yearly progress, data-driven instruction, and he found that the public schools definitely came up lacking. He said, making the assumption that since nobody's talking test scores, it's because they don't need to, because the kids are doing well.
Right. So,
and he said that, to be fair, he should note that Arne Duncan sends his own children to public school in Virginia, but Virginia has its own system of different public schools. So, and because he's probably living in a very expensive area, he's going to have elite public schools that don't need to have private schools. You guys want to talk about this?
Yes, I'd like to talk about this. So, Jason, the format of this classical education that the Obama children have, and many of the people in education reform have, their children have, even we'll go into specific people on the right as well. And the trust fund people that are running these charter schools and different things. Now, Jason, what I'm saying to you is this. The curriculum we just talked about that's going on in those two schools in Chicago and D.C., Don't you think it's a better option than what the public schools are bringing?
No. I think it is a different option than what the public schools are bringing. I think public schools could absolutely do exactly what the Sidwell schools
are. Oh, they could.
But we have politicians who are getting involved in this. I mean, the premise of this argument that we're having tonight is that the public schools are failing because the public schools just aren't good enough. Well, no. The truth of the matter is the public schools are not as successful as they can be because politicians are not permitting them to be. And I think that needs to be expressed.
No, but I would say that the politicians...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberstation USA.
Cyberstation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyberstation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and Cyberstation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive Cyberstation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Cyberstation USA.
Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The Cyberstation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberstationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Are clueless on how they're writing this stuff up, and that if we can go more to a private school mentality in public schools and the way we teach academic rigor, I think we'd be in much better shape in certain areas. I'm not saying the poorest of the poor. I have a different game plan for that.
Well, I mean, maybe not. I'm not so sure. I believe in the aristocratic mentality of education. I'm not sure I think that's the best way to go about it either. But, I mean, look, more public schools are successful than not successful. More public schools do more with their kids than any private school possibly could. The reason why private schools can be so successful is because of what they're working with. I think that if we really want to look at how to improve education, we need to get politicians out of it. But this is not a new story between us, and we've always discussed it this way. So, no, I don't necessarily think that we need to go to a private school model. I just think that what we need to do is allow for public schools to do what they do best, and that's educate everybody and not just those select few people who can afford to go there.
All right, when we get back, more Jason, the public school guy, and Dr. Jennifer Little, and I want to really touch upon specifics of what private schools do and why Jason thinks that if we continue this process, how simply the private schools, and not Catholic schools, because Catholic schools are selling out as well to teaching to the test, are going to be far advanced, and that a lot of our counterparts internationally teach the way that the private schools teach, and that's why they're successful. You're listening to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. Again, we're streaming live at WRCT.org. We get back. I know the fireworks will continue. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Tollgication Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. We're streaming live at WRCT.org, and I think this topic, I'm going to give kudos to Dr. Jennifer Little to wake us up tonight. And, you know, we just went with our crew. We went with our crew tonight to talk about this because I think this is a very controversial article. And Dr. Jennifer, now, do you think my premise is right? Would you want this classical education that the Obama children are getting compared to what we're giving to public school children right now?
You're dealing with two different sets of folks. You're dealing with kids who have highly educated parents, who have high drives, extreme diversity of interest and intellectual curiosity. You're dealing with folks who set up a home environment focused on learning and achievement. Two parents have doctorates. They have their JDs. You know, this is complete graduate school. How much more immersion in education drive can there be as opposed to the kids who are in Washington, D.C., where there is extreme amounts of poverty, and poverty means that the parents have not been able to achieve in school enough to get a decent-paying job. You're probably dealing with single-parent homes. And it goes on and on and on. You're dealing with two different animals. And to say that the public school kids can't compete and it's watered down, sure, it's watered down because it is. The politicians are not allowing teachers to do what they know they need to do.
Right. Okay. Let me talk about, I said there's two different tracks we need to go. We need to extend the school year and the school day in areas of poorer districts, while the more affluent districts, we need to step up the academic rigor and make it more and more challenging and more like a private school mentality. That's the direction I would want to go in public education. Now, Jason, I'm telling you right now, if we looked at some of these schools in the most affluent areas, they were doing much, much better till NCLB. They were doing much, much better to now the new push by Secretary Arne Duncan. They really didn't need the help. They should have just been allowed to teach the way they were teaching before. Right, Jason?
Oh, I think that's true, yeah.
Right. So why do we paint them all picture public education's terrible? And that's not my thing. I'm fighting for every parent listening to this program right now. I'm fighting for all you saying that I would not send my children to a school that it provides an environment like this where they're constantly just teaching to a test. When honestly, when I observe these schools, and I observed them, Jason, before I got into teaching, the most affluent districts, and was absolutely blown away by how great the teachers were, to completely just destroy this mentality. And even in the Catholic school that I taught at, before we started teaching the test, which we are teaching the test, and my daughter's having to deal with this right now. I really am upset. I think that there has to be a big time rebellion, a rebellion in education saying we are not teaching our kids the right thing, Jason. I'm not saying that we're going to fault public education. This is a politician driven teaching the test movement that's going to destroy our country. You don't agree with me.
I didn't say I didn't agree with you on that. I disagree with your assault on public education.
I'm not assaulting anything on public education. I'm not saying I'm not assaulting that at all. It's not your fault.
You did.
How did I do that?
Well, when you say the public schools can't compete with private schools and this and that and the other thing.
Because they're forced, because they're handcuffed. They're handcuffed to do that. They're handcuffed because of that. They're not allowed to do what they need to do.
Well, now you're prefacing your point. I think that what we need to focus on here is if we want to look at achievement, if we want to look at what happens, that the vast majority of people who go to college and are successful come from public schools.
Correct.
Period. So that tells me that public schools are being successful, that they are meeting the needs of their population, and they are doing the things that is necessary to prepare their kids for college and to be successful at college and to do exceptionally well in college. So, again, I go against your premise that public schools aren't doing the job that they need to do despite the handicap that they have. I think that what we really need to focus on here is what makes a successful student. And this is something I'm going to have to borrow from Dr. Jennifer, giving her all credit. And that goes to identifying where the research is and using that research to help drive education moving to the future, which is what is not being done. We have a lot of quote-unquote PhDs making up this voodoo science about education and what works so that they can sell a couple books or a program or something, and we have kids who are suffering because of it.
Right. Okay. But see, again, I think it's the listening thing, Jason, to listen to my argument of comparing the two, not saying we're going to fault public education. We're going to fault the system that's there. But again, we can fault what's happened in our schools that are the poorest of poor for so long because we haven't learned to teach to them. But that's for that's another argument for another day and another time. I think that you're putting up this wall. Attacking public education, that I'm going out there being a conservative teacher. You know what? See, a conservative teacher, Larry Sand, all these people that are attacking public education, they made a big mistake because guess what? We're going your direction now, guys, and it's making it worse. And as a parent, I am fighting for every parent all over the United States that's dealing with this teaching to the test and dealing with the what Dr. Jennifer explained to us before. It's an absolute terrible thing. So, Dr. Jennifer, what I'm saying is what I'm calling for in one of my education plans is, again, I should be the next Secretary of Education, is basically have two different systems. I think we should take a lot of the best school districts in the country and put them on off the hook and say, you go and do what you need to do. We know you could be successful. And really focus on the problem in public education and not make it so that we're going to destroy education in general thanks to this test-taking strategy and making just it's not a very good environment.
We talked about that. I've forgotten what state or no, it's in the Common Core standards that they're starting to turn things over to the districts and the states instead of the federal starting driving it, because I think there's a recognition that there are schools where kids are achieving and we don't have to drive the teachers insane with all this mumbo jumbo that we have to deal with. But I've forgotten what I was going to say. Oh, I know what it was. There was this. You were saying that kids are not prepared, that there are a lot of remedial classes in college. Yes, there are, but that's because the vocational classes have been removed from the public high schools. And for kids to get any further training, for vocational training, they have to go to a technical school or a college to get it. And they have to be able to read at 10th grade, 12th grade. I'm sorry, a plumber doesn't need to read at the 12th grade in order to do the plumbing. Yes, to learn the whole process they do and to do the paperwork and be in compliance with laws. But let's face it, it's not there.
See, I think they need to be highly educated because we want those plumbers to become business people and not work for somebody else. To be their own entrepreneur, their own boss, and to understand how to manage the money, understand how to manage a certain situation. So we're looking at these, what we say, vo-tech fields. They are very lucrative.
There's another component to this that's not being discussed either, and that is the push that everybody needs to go to college, and that colleges are propping up all over the place so that they can collect, so you can go to their college. We have more people going to college than who used to go to college. We also have an environment where more people want to go to our colleges because our colleges are the best. So what we're getting is the cream of the crop from the rest of the world coming to the United States to go to our colleges. And we're also adding more of our population to go to the colleges. So why is there more remediation? Because we have more kids taking and going to college. Of course, if you add, when you increase your sample size, you're also going to increase the size of your population that's going to fail. And that's what happens. We are doing the best we can with these kids, and we're doing a great job with these kids. But when we're telling these kids that they need to go to college, and we put these kids in position to go to college, and we have kids who should be in tech school or learning a trade or aren't ready for college yet, maybe go to community college instead, but we're telling them they have to go to a four-year college, of course there's going to be a greater level of failure because we're putting kids in positions to fail. See, we need to redo all of education from top to bottom.
See, I disagree. I mean, I think that you have to have that option, but I really think that that track is an option for people. But we got to push for everyone to go to college. And the thing that we're looking at, if you don't have a college education in this country, you're not going to find a job, Jason. Really, you're not. That's going to be... So tell me one.
Neil, I have a question.
Yeah.
Why does everybody have to go to college?
I would say because...
Why does a 70 IQ kid who can barely repeat back what he or she is supposed to learn rotely and doesn't have the ability to understand and probably won't have the ability for many, many years yet, why is that kid supposed to go to college? Why are some of my ex-students required to go to college? Just because you say it. They are learning disabilities, kids. They can't comprehend the abstract reasoning. They don't have the skills. They never will have the skills. Why do they have to go to college?
See, they have to.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
To go to college, Dr. Jennifer, because again, there's no other option in this country right now. If we're looking at the jobs that are available, where we've seen job creation, for the most part, it's been in the service field, it's been in the restaurant field. We're not creating any big time jobs right now. Jason will tell you something different, but it's not true. And that we're seeing the growth.
But I think that's part of the problem. We are not dealing with the situation as it is. We are, the politicians and all those who are making all these decisions are making it like they want it to be and assuming that everybody can do this right now instead of solving the problem. And when you solve a problem, you look at the situation where you are and how do you get from where you are to where you want to go.
Okay.
When you are lost driving around, you're not going to say, okay, I want to be in Los Angeles, so I'm going to get there right now. No, you can't do that. It has to be incremental.
Okay, when we get back, we're going to take a break, Jason, and I want you to respond to this. But I also want to go back to the article one more time and kind of delve into it one more time, look at it and see what that, again, the premise of the article completely was, and go a little bit back to Obama. But I this is a good thing to touch upon about everyone going to college. I believe everyone should go to college because there's no other option. You don't go to college, you're not going to be highly paid. Most people that go on to college have better, the higher level education you have, the more money you make in this country. And if you're going to continue to say, well, certain people aren't, this is going to be a system where we're not going to create the best thinkers in the world. You're listening to Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. We're streaming live at WRCT.org. We get back. Oh, no. You know what it is. That last segment is when the fireworks really start to go. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. We're streaming live at WRCT.org. We're with Jason, the public school guy, and Dr. Jennifer Little. And we started this process in a teacher was trying to find a good school to send their grandkids and then saw the system, which I really didn't know. And after hearing it, but I have seen it firsthand from certain things, but it's an absolute travesty of justice, then comparing Obama's kids and the kind of education that they're receiving. And it's far better. It's totally different than the model that they're looking to go towards. But somehow we got in this argument about college. And I always hear this, and I always hear this from one side of the aisle talking about, and I see it from both sides of the aisle, really, which I agree that there should be another option, a tech school or certain things. But I think that we need to have a goal that everyone goes to college. Now, Jason wants to respond to something, then I'll go back to Dr. Jennifer, but we've had this conversation before. I am for everyone trying to go to college because that's what ends poverty, attending college, graduating from college. And Jason, your thought?
You are so wrong about that's what ends poverty, because what created a middle class in this country was a living wage for people who were not able to go to college. When people began working in manufacturing, that without a college degree, that's what actually created the middle class. Unions created the middle class. So you got to make sure you understand what the history of the country is. Now, second of all, when you want to talk about, you know, what are there no other options for kids? There are absolutely other options. Those options happen to be labor-intensive work, those kinds of jobs. And that is what kids can do if they want to get out of poverty. Go become a plumber. Go become an electrician, because you don't need a college degree to do those jobs. If you want to own a job, if you want to own, by all means, yeah, you should probably get some college classes. But you don't need it to do the job. And you don't need it to have a good job, to make a good salary. Those kinds of jobs are absolutely good jobs that you don't need college degrees for. I think it's rather egalitarian, rather bourgeois, to say that you absolutely have to go to college in order to be successful. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't.
But see, but the research out there, the ones that have college degrees make far more money than the rest of the
on average.
Well, then we're talking then even the higher level degrees after that, even
on
under
average. Average is how that goes. It's not.
And you're talking about different sets of skills, Neil. To be a thinker, you have to be able to reason logically at an abstract concept level. There are thousands and thousands of kids, more than half of the population, that can't. They cannot do the work.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying, they can't do the work, but again, it goes back to the value of education in this country, which I've talked about before. There's no real...
No, you're making assumptions. You're making assumptions, and we've been down this road a lot. You are making assumptions about what a kid should be able to do, not what they can do. You're not looking at the reality. You're looking at the wishes and dreams level of functioning.
But see, if you set the bar high for all of them and some of them don't end up there, that's fine. But I think that what we have in our society is we look at this and say, oh, well, you know, that we should have this other track. They don't seem very motivated at this point in time. Well, I disagree with Jason.
Yeah, but what are we doing to do anything different for those kids? We ask them to do everything that your kids and Jason's kids and my cousin's kids can do, not what they can do. We're not creating something that will help these kids. We're just proving to them that they are failures.
See, I don't agree with that, but like I said before, I think that that's one of the missing points is when we lower the standard for people, we're not going to have success. But that's something where we can go into another argument later on and talk about that in more detail. The one thing, I set the bar, and I know my co-host, Jarrett, would say he wants all kids to go to college. So there is a push out there that that's an important thing. You guys don't agree with that. And that's fine. But I agree with it. So because of the, to get out of poverty is to go to college. Jason doesn't agree with that. You don't agree with that. You say 50% can't analytically think. Well, I wonder if we can raise and look at other countries the same way in that situation.
Wait a minute. Time out. You're mischaracterizing my statement. I didn't say that going to college doesn't bring you out of poverty. Absolutely, it does. What I'm saying is that not everybody can or even should go to college because not everybody is capable of going to college and being successful, and not everybody wants to go to college to be successful, that there are other options because you made the assumption that there are no other options
to be successful. Most of the options people are seeing after you talked about, you know, a plumber or electrician, you need to know a ton of math. So I believe they need to go the academic track with that.
No, they don't. That's why you go and become an apprentice, because you don't need that. And no, you don't think you need a lot of math to be a plumber? Absolutely you do.
You do.
But it's a different kind of math than what they'll teach you in college. They won't teach you that kind of math in college. They're going to teach you theoretical. They're going to teach you why zero is actually zero. They're going to teach you all of those things instead of here's the functionality of figuring out where wire goes where and what to do with what.
But a tech school, they're going to have to take calculus.
They're going to take functional calculus. They're going to learn how to do it in a functional way rather than in an academic setting. It's a different kind of learning, period. And those kids can do it. Becoming a bricklayer. My brother didn't go to college. He's a bricklayer. He makes good money. He makes more money than I do as a bricklayer.
But we're saying, Jason, is that's not the norm. But what I'm saying, when you're talking about plumber and electrician, and when they go on to a trade school, we're not saying everyone go to college. We got to set the bar that we want everyone to go to college.
You said everybody need to go to college.
That's what we need to set the bar for. But some of them won't end up. That's when you go to a trade school. But these trade schools, you need to have academia. You have to teach them the academics. And if we're watering down them, we don't.
They do in these tech schools.
Well, they do once they get to the schools. Yes, they got to be prepared.
Well,
a lot of times they need remediation, but they're not getting in the high schools. And if we continue to water down the tests and the ones that aren't in AP classes, we're dead. We're dead in the water for them to be prepared. Yes.
I think you're dealing with blinders. You're dealing with blinders on because you're not looking at the reality of what the kids can do and what there is available for them. You want them to be able to do something. You want them to be able to. So you're doing the same argument that all these other people are doing. They're saying, well, the kid can just pull himself up by the bootstraps and just get busy because President Obama and his wife were able to do that for themselves. That's fine. But they had parents who were not like the parents who are in inner cities.
But a lot of inner city kids...
You are not looking at the sets of skills that these kids are not being able to be taught because the standards won't let them learn it. Because it's not taught.
But if we cannot look at academically, if we water down our curriculum, they're not going to be prepared for these trade schools to be successful. They're not going to be able to take the calculus that Jason said. They won't even have any mathematical skills from what we've been teaching to the test. So even that trickle-down effect of the kids that go to trade school after 11th grade, that go on and then go on to a trade school in college, a trade school instead of college, still is very tough academic rigor that a lot of them are not prepared for, Jason. They really aren't.
There's a number of things that you're getting into here that you're glossing over in this argument. Number one, the majority of kids who go to trade schools are kids who are good with their hands and not good with academics. So if they're not prepared, is it because they have a learning disability? Is it because they have other issues going on? Is it because they came from a broken home? There's a number of issues that go along with it. So, those are all big factors in success in a classroom. Number two, those people who want to go off to trade schools, those people who want to do that for a living, then they can make money. They make good money doing those kinds of jobs.
Yeah,
which is a premise. You said that they can't be successful unless they go to college. That was one of your premises, which is a false premise because they can make good money. What we need to do is we need to bring back tech schools. And what we need to focus on is maybe go to a more of a European model and tell kids that.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.